magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up, and welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 403. Today is Friday, June 21st. We are recording live. My name is Jared. With me is Eli.
I'm trying to do the calculations in my head with regards to if we'll hit episode number 420.
Yeah.
By the time it's legal in Illinois.
So jumping right into it, our off-topic discussion. weed is legal in Illinois now.
As of the first of the year.
First of the year. No, we don't. Oh, that's a good. I can't do the math, but that's what 16 weeks
enough,
away.
Yeah, we don't have enough left.
Yeah, I don't think
we need to start numbering these like 403.5.
We should do. We'll at 419. We'll go like 419.1, 419.2. And we'll make sure that we hit it on the first so that you can have a special 420 episode.
Perfect.
That'll be very exciting. Speaking of off topic, by the way, this is a show about mobile gaming. And so before we get to that, we're going to talk about
eventually.
Not mobile gaming. I wonder if anybody that actually still listens to us is like, yeah, I come for the mobile gaming talk. Turn it off after the 10 minutes of off topic in the beginning.
You should drop the Patreon and everything first before.
Yes, TouchArcade.com is your number one source for mobile gaming news and Nintendo Switch stuff. Our daily Switch Arcade has been getting quite good reviews across the internet.
Yeah, Sean
one
does a really
Mike
good job.
Schramm tweeted about it, much he liked it. And if you know Mike Schramm, you know that that's a big deal.
The biggest internet curmudgeon.
So, everything with Touch Arcade is primarily supported through Patreon and our readers and our listeners. So if you like what we do, please visit patreon.com/touch arcade and consider helping us out by donating even as little as a dollar. It all helps. And additionally, you can do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. And we'll get a little tiny piece of whatever you're going to be buying through Amazon anyway. It's anonymous. We won't judge you on what you're buying. We can't pinpoint what it is. That's another way that you can help us out. And with that stuff out of the way, let's talk about non-mobile gaming stuff. What do you got for me?
Boosted boards, man.
Oh, right.
So
you got an electric skateboard.
Yeah, I've been... I bought a normal skateboard earlier this... I guess like spring or whatever. A lot of fun on that. And I was like, this is really cool. But the problem is, like, I live kind of like at the top of a slow sloping hill. And like everything that I go to is like on the bottom. Yeah. So it's like skating anywhere amounts to like a super fun ride there.
Yeah.
And then on the way back, it's like just walking while I carry my skateboard. Which sucks.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know how I got on the rabbit hole. Oh, I remember it. Then I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy one of these electric scooter things because like, limes are a lot of fun and those things are not in my neck of the woods yet. And they're kind of expensive to rent. And if you rent them a lot, you know, the $300 or $400 you spend on a scooter for yourself is not crazy. Like,
It pays for itself eventually.
Yeah. And then I was like, man, but like scooters are so heavy and dumb. And like, I don't know what you actually do with it once you get somewhere. You like lock it to a bike rack or something. That seems weird.
Yeah.
And I was like looking around at other stuff. And that's when I discovered like these Boosted boards.
Yeah.
So Boosted is a company. They're like kind of, people compare them to like the Tesla of electric skateboards, I guess. I don't know if it's because they release their shit first or like they have the best stuff or people just like catchphrases.
Do they have their own Elon Musk?
I don't know. I hope not. But I was kind of looking at it, I was like, oh yeah, I remember these because they released a electric longboard like maybe 2 or 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, I've never been to longboarding. Like longboarding's weird. So that didn't really appeal to me. And like they were like super expensive too. They're like $1,500. Yeah. Or more, even, I think, for the longer range ones. So I was just like, man, I don't know. So it didn't really occur to me that, like, they had released new models, like a couple different revisions of new models, in fact. So like they have what they call their mini lineup, which is like kind of like the size of a normal skateboard,
Right.
which I was like, oh damn, that's like perfect.
It's kind of like an 80s skateboard, right? Like the
Yeah.
fist-shaped sort of ones.
Yeah, because it's got a tail on the back and stuff that's useful for like actually turning in areas where like, because turning on a longboard, like I don't even know how you do it. You like
Sucks.
slide or like need just like a lot of room to make your corner. Like, I don't know. But so I got the Mini Boosted S from a kid on Craigslist for surprisingly cheap, and have been
Because these
riding that
things aren't
around.
cheap, brand new.
No, so the Mini Boosted S is like 750 new, and I got mine for significantly less than that because like
That's cool.
I those things I think are a lot like buying gym equipment in that like it's really expensive and like you somehow rationalize buying it and then like you use it once and then it just sits. Because like the one I had has only like 20 miles on it, which is like I've like tripled that in
Does it
the
have an odometer like it tells
yeah,
you?
like you so you connect to it via Bluetooth and it's got an app and it shows you like lifetime miles and like your various like battery stats and stuff like that. So practically brand new, saved hundreds of dollars buying it from some kid that just like wanted to buy a bike instead. And yeah, it's really cool. It's scary fast. Scary amount of torque. Like, so it has three settings. It starts with the beginner mode, which is basically the fastest you can go is like about as fast as you could go on a normal skateboard anyway, like just like kicking on a level surface, you know? So that's pretty easy. I got comfortable with that and then moved it up to eco mode, which is the middle mode, and it's like scary how fast I can go on that.
And so you have one setting
Yeah,
left
and there's a
to
one setting
work up
left
to
where you
daredevil mode.
yeah, so like I think beginner mode is like 10 miles an hour. I think eco mode is like 15 max, and then expert is like 20 or 22 or something like that. Which like, dude, going full
It's
bore on this
fast.
thing, like you get like the like if you hit a weird bump, you get like the speed wiggles and stuff, and it's just like it's kind of scary.
Yeah,
So.
my friend's neighbor is one of those guys that's like, I've never asked what he does, but he's one of those guys that has like every toy imaginable because he just makes so much money. And so like in front of his house is like one of those big Mercedes, commercial vans that he's made into
Oh,
like a
cool.
fun van with like camping stuff and, outdoor water sports stuff and surfboards and, all this kind of thing. He has like this cool motorcycle. And so he's always got these toys. And so he'll zip back and forth on his little boosted board. And one day he stopped by and he's like, "Hey, you want to ride it?" And I'm like, "Sure." And I hop on and it just goes so fast.
Yeah.
Like by the time like I got like three houses down from where I started and was like going uncomfortably fast and had
Yeah.
to like stop and turn around and be like, "Dude, that's fun, but I was not prepared for that."
Well, what's really cool about it is it actually like so you can go backwards and forwards, and by like scrolling the wheel backwards, you like initiate like a braking function, which is really cool because like I don't know, I always found like slowing down on a skateboard to be really awkward, as opposed to just kind of like slowing down with the remote, like works exceedingly well. So yeah, really cool. I don't know. It's they're kind of expensive, but you can find them used. They're pretty cheap, particularly if you just surf Craigslist at the right time. Like I wasn't like I found out about these. I was like, oh, that's really neat. Well, it was really expensive. Oh, that would be cool. I don't know when I'll ever buy one. And then just on a whim, I was like, I don't know. Let's see if there's like just search Craigslist for boosted, and I, like found a kid that was like half hour away from me that was like giving his away, and was like, whoa.
Jeez.
All right, I guess I have a boosted board now. That's neat.
And so the other thing is like they're battery powered. And so do you have like a spare battery or something? Or like what if you're out and about and you run out of juice, or you just make sure that's not gonna happen?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you just kind of have to use your brain with like where you go. So like the one I have allegedly has like a 7 mile range. But like so you have the app that pairs with your phone. You can set different like battery thresholds to like send you an alert if you're at like 50% or whatever else. So presumably you could do that, and then if you hit 50%, you'd be like, oh shit, like I need to go home kind of thing. But what a lot of people do that have this like so they also have the X, which has an extended range battery, which has 14 mile range, which seems like way more than you'd ever need. But what a lot of people do is just like throw the charger in their backpack because like it'll charge. It's like one of those things kind of like using the USB-C charger for the iPhone, and that like it'll go to 70% like really quickly.
So if you really had to, you find a plug and charge up
Yeah.
just real quick
If you had the
and get
foresight
back
to
to get
bring
home.
the charger, then yes, but otherwise you're walking. Or I guess like skating normally with lots of drag from the electric motors, but
yeah. No, that's really cool. I would like to get one of those because I feel like my city's perfect for it, and I see people on them all the time. But
yeah.
I would be the guy that got one and had fun for a month and then was like, never used it again.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like,
I'm curious to see if you become that guy.
So for me, like, there's a bunch of places that like are near me that like, so the Chicago suburbs are weird in that like you basically need a car, but there's a lot of stuff near me that is just like outside of comfortable walking space. It always feels kind of dumb to like get in your car for like 3 minutes. That I can just like hop on my boosted board and just like ride for 10 minutes and have more fun and be there and stuff. So that's, I don't know. We'll see. Problem is, you know, Chicago is super seasonal. So I really only have like another like 2 or 3 months that I can really even use it. So
you can get like the ski attachments, right?
And is just that go a thing?
Ski boarding? No, I don't know. It should be. Cool. Be awesome. So cool. Well, that's your boosted board info for the week.
Yeah, but really neat. There's a lot of different options too. Like I just went with Boosted because they've been around the longest and have had the most revisions and stuff. But there's a lot of different companies making these now. So.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I believe it. I noticed they make a scooter too. So that's probably the next.
New thing they just released. And everyone's like losing their mind because like it goes faster and has better battery than a lot of the other ones. So.
Yeah. I am not mad at all at a future where we all have like pretty tiny electric vehicles, like personal electric vehicles or whatever, instead of just everyone having cars all the time.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome. And it makes so much sense because, gosh, besides like if I have to go out of town, maybe I drive. But like other than that, I don't like have to drive anywhere. But it's more convenient to, you know, like if I wanted to walk into like, you know, downtown where all this stuff's happening. It's like an hour walk. It's not crazy. We've done it before. And
how
it's
many
actually
miles,
fun
though, like 2 miles, something, 2-3 miles.
Yeah, like 2 miles. It's nothing crazy. But I mean, it'd be a lot cooler, which is why I like the jump bike so much, because it's really easy to just grab a jump bike and pedal down there in 10 or 15 minutes instead of, you know, walk an hour. If you're not in the mood to walk, but yeah, I just feel like a lot of people are in that sort of same position where it's like the stuff they do is reasonably close to them that they don't always have to drive to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always fun to kind of bust out your bike either, or, you know, whatever. So,
yeah. Yeah. But cool. I mean, carrying around the boosted board, like it weighs like 15 pounds, which is heavy, but like it carries just like a normal skateboard, you know, so it doesn't feel weird, like walking around with it or anything like that. And
you can get, they make a lot of backpacks that have straps for your board or whatever, and just strap it on your backpack. And
yeah, I don't know. 15 pounds seems like a lot to have on your back versus like holding it, you know,
just carry it. Yeah.
But cool. Yeah. Well, so do you have, is there any ad copy to read that we need to do before we need to jump into the iPhones?
Holy moly. Thanks for reminding me.
This week's podcast is probably sponsored by.
Because this week's podcast is sponsored for the fourth and final time by Armor Games and their game, Infectnator 3 Apocalypse. And so you know all about this game if you have been listening to us for the last 3 weeks. But we'll read the ad copy about halfway through, which is probably more like about a quarter of the way through now.
I'll set a timer.
But I don't know if anyone noticed, but 3 weeks ago, the first week that they were running this ad campaign, we forgot to do it. And I had to record something after the fact and kind of patch it in. Yeah, so if it sounded a little weird, that's why. There's your inside info of the week.
There's my Coors Light of the week, baby.
Oh, cool. I got a beer going too because it's been a long one. It's been a long one, I'll tell you that much. So moving away from powered skateboards into the very related territory of mobile gaming. The first story I had to talk about this week is that Dr. Mario World is up for pre-order, has a launch date of July 10th, and Nintendo released a whole buttload of videos about it, including a very lengthy overview video that kind of explains what the mechanics are, shows the game in action, all that good stuff.
How do you pay for it?
What's that?
How do you pay for it?
It's free to play as heck.
Well, right, but like, what's the limiting mechanic? Is it like Candy Crush?
There is a hearts or whatever. It's an energy system.
Yeah.
So
that seems fine.
They refill over time, you know, whatever. It's your typical sort of thing.
That's what I thought.
I feel like the energy mechanic is probably the one free to play thing that turns off the most people because it's annoying when you can't play something. But I feel like in the real world usage of mobile gaming, it almost never really matters because you're just like, I played a few minutes and then I wait. And I play something else, and it doesn't really matter that much. I'm not trying to play Dr. Mario World for 5 hours straight.
Yeah, I'm curious, what the session time would be until you run out of lives in this game. Because, people really grumped about the Candy Crush life system when Candy Crush was a new thing, and that whole thing was new. But like, honestly, I got really into Candy Crush, and honestly, like, rarely found myself in a situation where I was out of lives and still like was looking to play.
Right.
Because like, anytime I have more than like 20 minutes to play something on my phone, or 15 minutes or whatever, chances are I'm going to play something else too, because I don't know, short attention span.
It's funny. I mean, you should watch, the people listening to this should watch the trailer if they haven't yet, because it's really funny. They almost highlight the energy system as like a feature. Like, they spend a little bit of time on it being like, oh, and there's a heart system, and oh, they refill after time, or you can refill them instantly with your gems, or, you know, whatever. They definitely don't like try and hide it or anything like that. Like, it's a feature. And so, I don't know. It's kind of interesting, I guess. My thing with this is that, I don't even really like the original Dr. Mario.
Least favorite Nintendo game.
You know, this makes sense to me that they bring this to mobile, because it's like a puzzle game, and it's, you know, it fits well. But I just wasn't the biggest Dr. Mario fan back in the day, even. So I don't really care about this one way or the other, even if it was a paid release, even if it's free to play, even whatever. So, you know, more power to the people that like it. Hopefully this free to play one is cool. It definitely seems like it has a lot of kind of twists to the mechanics and stuff. It's kind of a opposite Dr. Mario, where in the old one you pop a pill into the playfield and it would fall down, kind of like Tetris. This one's almost backwards, where you drag your pills into the field and they sort of fall upwards, which is kind of weird. But all the graphics and everything, all the different viruses, which are really pretty cool, they've all been like redone in 3D and kind of like that new Super Mario Brothers aesthetic. So yeah, there's that. And then on the Nintendo Mobile YouTube channel, there's a bunch of little video vignettes of all the virus characters and stuff, and they have kind of a lot of personality. And so it's definitely like a lot of work going into this. You know what I mean? It's going to be a polished Nintendo game, as you would expect it to be. Whether or not the gameplay and the pay system jives with you remains to be seen. So
yeah, I mean, I saw a shitload of grumping about this, of course. But like, I don't know. I mean, I watched the little, like, this early trailer, and it seems fine. I don't know.
It seems it seems about what I would expect. You know what I mean? So, it should be fine. But I will give it a chance when it actually comes out. Maybe after all these years, there's something I've been missing about the Dr. Mario formula. So we'll see what happens with that. And we'll see kind of how the pay system is and stuff. Yeah. See, like right here in the video, it's like, here's your heart system. Oh, you ran out. You can't play for 30 minutes or whatever. It's kind of like weird how they highlight it. So
I don't know. That doesn't bother me. And I'm with you in that. Like, I don't know. For whatever reason, I was always a Tetris person, not a Dr. Mario person. So that doesn't bother me really at all.
Yeah. We'll see. So this little overview video is good to check out if you want to know what Dr. Mario World is going to be all about. But
it's basically like they mash Dr. Mario plus Candy Crush together, I think is the best way to describe it. And if that sounds cool to you, you'll probably like it.
A lot of levels and all that good stuff. So, this is coming out on both iOS and Android on July 10th. So we can check it out then. Judge it then.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So this was kind of cool news. Tiny Build's game Graveyard Keeper is coming to iOS and Android next week.
This primarily was a Switch game, right? Originally, or Switch and Steam, or
I think it was Steam. It was one of those Steam and consoles like a couple years ago, and then like Switch last year. That seems to be the sort of like cadence of platform releases, is that all the ports kind of hit Switch last year or whatever. But Graveyard Keeper is one of those games I've heard of. Heard it was cool and never really looked too much into it because it was on, you know, Steam and PS4 or whatever, and not really paying attention to that. So looking into it now, it actually seems really cool. It's basically somebody was inspired by Stardew Valley and like Harvest Moon and wanted to make a game like that, but about like maintaining a graveyard that you inherit instead of like a farm. And so a lot of the mechanics are the same. There's like a whole crafting system.
Have you played the Switch version at all?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No. They were at PAX East, and they had like the coolest demo stations at the event. And they had I want to say it was like three coffins or something like that in a row, you laid in the coffin, and they gave you a Switch, and you played laying in the coffin, which I was
no thank you.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
Did they have giant sanitary blankets they would lay down in the coffin
No.
after each person?
No.
Yep. No, thank you. So yeah, this seems like a cool concept though, because growing and improving your graveyard as opposed to like a farm, which is kind of like the typical thing, it's kind of a cool twist or whatever. And based on all the reviews, like seems to that people have played this on other platforms really like it. So I think it'll be much like Stardew Valley, a good fit on mobile.
Yeah.
So we will see. But this is coming out next week, June 27th. It'll be part of the next week is shaping up to be a big release week for mobile stuff. There's a lot of big name things coming out, and this is one of them. So
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. I feel like I'd rather almost play this on the Switch,
yeah,
depending on how the mobile port
maybe.
goes.
Yeah.
Because like Stardew Valley for me was just a better. I mean, it was really cool that it exists on mobile. Don't get me wrong, but like I just feel like the experience was better on the Switch.
Yeah,
But.
no, I agree. And this could be one of those games where it's like I buy it on mobile, get interested in it, and then buy it on Switch to like really play it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it's got like it's cool that it's got like all the same sort of stuff that Stardew Valley has in terms of like characters and story and stuff. Instead of being like, here's just a blank world and grow your graveyard or grow your farm and just go nuts or whatever. Like Stardew felt like you lived in a it wasn't like Minecraft where it just throws
Right.
you in and it's like, here you go. It's like, hey, these characters exist, they have personalities, there's lore that was here before you got here, and there's actual storyline stuff and missions to complete, and it's like playing an RPG, you know what I mean? And as opposed to just a straight sandbox game. So I feel like this game took a lot of cues from stuff like that, and that there's like characters and there's a story and you can beat it and all that good stuff.
It's
So
interesting how everyone compares these games to Stardew Valley now and not to Harvest Moon, the originator of
Yeah,
well,
it's
maybe the
very,
originator,
very true. Although
I don't know.
they do throw Harvest Moon out as an inspiration, but I feel like just watching the video, you get more of a Stardew Valley vibe. But so anyway, I threw this story in here because you seem to have been such a fan of the
Oh,
One
One
Punch
Punch Man.
Man
Hell
show.
yeah. I can't believe you haven't watched this yet.
No, I have not watched this yet, but they are getting a card RPG battling game on mobile, and you can pre-register for it now. And that's
I
about all I've let myself learn about this. But I threw it in for your benefit, because you
Oh,
like
One
One
Punch
Punch
Man's
Man.
super cool. So the premise of One Punch Man, it's an anime series that's available on Netflix. I want to say it's really short. It's like I don't remember how many episodes there are, but they're like 20-minute episodes. I blasted through it over the course of like 2 or 3 days of like not power watching or anything. So that the basic premise is like it's a world with like superheroes and super villains and monsters and stuff like that, and everyone wants to be a superhero, but like One Punch Man is just this guy that's just like effortless to him. So it's kind of like an anime that like makes fun of animes almost because he's like so powerful, but he's just like so like laissez-faire about his power. And
Yeah.
that they so it's One Punch Man because like one punch can of his can kill like absolutely anything.
Right.
And like the anime like goes into that where you'll have like these like galactic superpowers like coming to invade Earth and stuff, and he just punches them and they just blast back off into space and are just dead and
That's pretty
all that
cool.
stuff. So I am not at all interested in a card RPG about
Well,
One Punch Man, though.
every brand has its own card RPG now.
I guess.
Yeah, so this One Punch Man, Road to Hero, comes out on iOS and Android in September. It's available for pre-order on both. And yeah, if you're into the card RPG things and you've been waiting for a One Punch Man one,
Just
here
seems
it
like
is.
it's like the lamest. Like I don't know how anyone can watch One Punch Man and be like, oh, a game where you punch stuff and there's a lot of fighting. I know, let's make a card collecting RPG instead
Yeah,
of
should
like
it
a
be a fighting game?
brawler or something like that, you know,
I think
like.
there is fighting games on other platforms, but because it's mobile, it's got to be a card RPG.
I guess
That's just
so.
the way these things go.
I don't know. Well,
So yeah,
I would
you can
say
find that in September,
watch One
though.
Punch Man. It's very good.
Yeah.
If you don't like, I would be genuinely surprised. Like, so I am not super into anime at all because, like, I don't know, it's always just so over the top. But like, I really liked how One Punch Man was like a satire on how over the top anime is. So it's really,
No,
really good.
I do want to check it out as I do millions of other things on like Netflix. So we'll see if I ever get around to it. So moving on, another other platform game making its way to iOS is Forgotten Anne, which is a heavily story-driven kind of puzzle platformer. And so this is a game, another one, example number 50 billion that I heard tons of good things about and never really checked into much myself because it wasn't on like mobile or Switch, which is really the only platforms I have the capacity to follow along with anymore. So aside from just recognizing the name and thinking it looked cool in previous time, I didn't know really anything about it. So this is another one where I would urge you to watch this trailer because it is awesome. I can kind of see why this has such a good reputation on other platforms. It's really reminds me a lot of maybe Tesla Grad or something like that, like puzzle platformy stuff, but really heavy story driven elements with like really, really good animation. They kind of like carries through, like the animated cutscenes are super well done, but then it kind of carries into the game really well because the characters are all animated and drawn the same or whatever. So it's kind of like this nice, seamless, cohesive experience. And the voice acting, the animation, and especially like has an orchestral soundtrack that's just like really, really powerful. So check out this trailer if you haven't seen it yet. And get excited to play this on mobile. If TetraGrad was any indication, this should be playable pretty well on mobile with touchscreen controls and stuff like that.
It's worth mentioning that the game is spelled, the title of the game is spelled weird. It's Forgotten is spelled Forgotton.
Yeah, I don't know. That I feel like that has to have significance, right? Not just a weird misspelling that they just went with.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
let's see though. So Square Enix Collective, is that like just another sub publishing label of theirs for like non in-house development stuff? Do you have any idea?
I guess. I mean, I assume that's sort of what it is, but I don't totally know. So maybe they just strictly publish games like this. But I'm excited to check this one out. This is another of the big ones that are coming next week. So next week's shaping up pretty good. It'll be $10, but it'll be free to try. So you can download it and check it out next week. See if you like it, and then unlock the full game for $10. So,
$10. Spits Coors Light everywhere.
What? $10. So that's Forgotten. And moving on, we were fortunate enough to reveal exclusively with three triple X's a new card for Elder Scrolls Legends.
You should qualify. This is a Vin Diesel triple X, not
Vin Diesel triple X exclusive. I think we've talked about this before. This is one of those, like, my eyes glaze over when I talk about Elder Scrolls Legends because I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
And because we have someone on staff that does know about it, they can just happily write about stuff about this game, and I don't ever have to learn about it, and so that's fine by me. So this is really just to mention because we had the exclusive reveal, and it's always fun when we do these people on like Twitter that do follow this game and stuff like that always get really excited for like new cards and things like that. So it's fun to watch people get excited and be like, oh, this card, oh, I can't believe his abilities and blah, blah, blah. And this is going to be interesting. And, you know, watching people be excited about it is my satisfaction. Playing this game is not up my alley, so I don't do it. But so if you are an Elder Scrolls Legends person, you probably have already seen this. But if you haven't, check out this exclusive card reveal. Zumog Foom is the name of the card, and he looks like one bad orc.
Yeah, cool, I guess. Yeah, I always wish I got into this game, but I was so into Hearthstone when it came out that, like, I don't know, it's hard to juggle multiple games of the same type.
I mean, these games aren't up my alley in the first place, but I do wish, and Hearthstone, like, I tried a few different times after it come out, and it was always just like, man, I can't get into this. So I kind of just never really bothered with any other of these card battling games. They're just not my thing. So that's fine. I'm fine with letting them be other people's things. But the big expansion, Moons of Elsweyr, that'll be launching next week along with this new card that we revealed. So check that out.
Yeah.
So I posted about this. This is kind of a funny thing because I had seen this game like a few months ago. I'd seen a trailer for it or something like that and was like, damn, this looks cool.
But Gigantic, like, X. What a cool name.
Gigantic, generic name X.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the greatest name ever. But, it's one of those games where I saw like a clip of it or something like that. It didn't really have like a super proper trailer and didn't really have like proper information about it. And so I was always like, well, I guess I could post this, but there's not a lot of info about it other than like, look at this weird like gameplay clip that some rando posted on YouTube of the beta or, you know, whatever. So I ended up never talking about it. But now that it's getting close to launch, they're starting to release some more official, like, you know, stuff for it. So I was like, cool, I'd kind of keep my eye on it. And they did a soft launch during from like May to early June or something like that. And but it was on Android only, so I could not partake. But yeah, the game is called Gigantic X. It's from a developer called Action Square. And it's basically a sci-fi top-down dual stick kind of shooter. Maybe not really dual stick, more single stick with buttons, but you know, one of those types of games.
A single stick shooter.
Single stick shooter. So, but anyway, the premise is sort of that you're these mercenaries that get hired to go and clear alien planets of all the alien life, so that we, as the corporate bastards that we are, can harvest all of the resources for it. And yeah, it's basically you're just going and killing these innocent aliens for no reason other than to exterminate them so we can profit from their death, which is kind of cool. So
sounds like a thing that humans would do.
It's basically just a setup so you can go to different planets with crazy aliens and kill them, which is fine by me. But there's three different playable characters. And then the emphasis, it really reminded me a lot of that game Space Pioneer that came out like last year or whatever. And that was one of my favorite games of last year. Just because I had really fun gameplay, really fun like shooting, and just like a cool style or whatever. This seems like that game, but like more sci-fi-y. But it's also built around multiplayer. So it's got a lot of co-op multiplayer built in, where you can team up with up to two other people, taking on, you know, the three different classes in the game or whatever, taking on giant boss fights and stuff like that. And then there will be a little bit of like actual battling other people, PvP stuff too. There should be a single player story campaign type thing too. So it's not all multiplayer, but it's definitely built around multiplayer first.
Yeah, that seems cool.
So it's kind of, it's designed to be that. But anyway, it finally has a release date, July 29th. And it too is available for pre-order on both iOS and Google Play. So if you want to do the whole pre-ordering thing, you can do that with the links in the story on our site. I don't know. I'm psyched for it. It's going to be free to play, but it sounds like I've been kind of following along with the Discord channel, all the people that played the beta and stuff like that. And it seems like the developers are really interested in making like a good game that obviously they got to find ways to make money, but they don't want to make it super unfair. And one of the interesting things is that they have a specific mode called Underground Mode. And it's basically you go in there and you don't get to use any of your fancy weapons you've collected and upgraded and anything like that. It just throws everyone in with all the same weapons and gear, and you just get to shoot each other and see who's the best. You know what I mean? So it's cool that they kind of thought to focus on like a very skill-based only mode.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, so I don't know. Looks like fun. Check out the trailer. Coming out July 29th. Looking forward to that.
I just got an alert that says, go out and ride for Go Skateboarding Day. It's the longest day of the year, so let's get out there.
Did your boost board tell you?
Yeah.
That's exciting. I forgot about Go Skateboarding Day. How about Take a Nap Day? When's Take a Nap Day?
Every day.
So this was hinted at on, I think, Monday. It kind of sounded like this game would be coming to English-speaking countries. This is Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box, or in other parts of the world, it's called Pandora's Box.
Aren't almost all of the Professor Layton games on the App Store now? Aren't we like almost one-to-one or close to it?
No, sure. I really lose track of them because there's been spin-offs and stuff like that. But I want to say yes. So this is the second Layton game that launched on DS, I don't know, whatever, 2008 something. And so this is the second one that's been remastered with high-res art and stuff like that, and it launched in Japan last year, maybe like just over a year ago, I want to say. And so it was kind of like pretty much a given that it would get an English release because all the Layton games seem to have done well, you know, releasing outside of Japan or whatever, but we just didn't really know when. And then on Monday we got kind of a hint that it might be coming, and then lo and behold, of course, after we posted our new games roundup, this dropped like later that night or early morning the next day. And so this is now out too, Professor Layton and Diabolical Box. As I said, there's a US version. So there's a specific link for the US version. And then there's a specific link for like the Euro people and the rest of the world. So make sure you're clicking on the right link, or if you click it and it goes to the store and nothing happens, that's probably your problem. But yeah, so there's the original Layton and Curious Village remastered, that's on iOS, and now this is on iOS, so you for sure have the first two games in remastered form on iOS, which is pretty cool. And they're paid games, so, you know, no shenanigans or anything like that. Super
yeah, they're,
fun.
They're really
games
cool.
On the DS back in the day, so.
Yeah, if you've never played a Professor Layton game before, it's like, I don't know, like almost like an anime movie mixed with a bunch of different puzzle mechanics.
Yeah, it's part, you know, point and click, part puzzle game, part just, you know, adventure. They're awesome. I think they're tons of fun, even though I don't know, I guess they could skew younger demographic, but I wouldn't necessarily say so. I think they're enjoyable for pretty much any age.
I never know where to start though with these, because like I played the very first Professor Layton on the DS a million years ago and really liked it, and then like they released like five of them by the time I played another one, and I was like, I don't know, I feel like I'm missing something, but like am I like, because it's almost like they're structured like episodes of Twilight Zone or something, where they're just kind of like in the same connected universe, but it's like a different adventure, almost kind of like like that BBC show Sherlock, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know, but I do know what you mean. I'm like one of those people that's like, I want to play them in order, you know, play them all or whatever. And I don't think it really at the end of the day matters. You can pick up any of them, and I think each game has its own self-contained stories, so it's not like you're gonna be missing anything or whatever. But
they usually,
it is
like,
still nice to know, just to keep my OCD in check, that I'm playing them in order or whatever.
Yeah, they usually lay out what the mystery is pretty early in the game too. Like introduce the characters, and it's like, oh, here's the mystery we'd love to solve, and that's kind of like the main thing you do in the game. And
right.
I don't really know if they even link together at all beyond like maybe some recurring characters or whatever. So
right. Yeah, I'm not sure either, but they're all good. They're all worth playing. So, yeah, check out this newest one on mobile, if that's your thing. If you like mobile games, and if you don't, why are you listening to this podcast? That's
really weird. Because they like electric skateboards.
Maybe, yeah. How are we doing on time? Is there an ad? Do I have to add?
That's a good question.
You're my timer guy.
You might as well. Yeah, you got
Where's the slinky?
You got a minute.
I need you to slink me in. No, that's okay. I can do that. So we're going to pause real quick just to take a hear a word from our sponsors, which, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is Armor Games for their game Infectinator 3 Apocalypse. Here we go. Infectinator 3 is a game where you get to control a zombie horde, create, mutate, and unleash undead minions to destroy the human race with your evil plague. Cause chaos and catastrophe with customizable zombies and a powerful arsenal of tricks and traps. Beware, though, they fight back. Humanity seeks a cure, and if that happens, it's game over. The next title in the popular Infectinator franchise is available now on all your iOS devices. Download it for $4.99 on the App Store today. Bada boom. That's the last time I have to read that tongue twister, but
it's a really good game. I actually downloaded it this week.
Really?
Yeah.
They're super fun. I liked all the old Infectinator games, too, but I thought it was really interesting that they went paid for this one, and I'd be really curious to know how it worked out. If you're listening to Armor Games people, was sure that a happy, are you happy you went that route or are you not? It's kind of like the paid game thing has kind of been a dying scene for a while now. So I thought that was a big risk.
Yeah.
Doing previously pretty free to play game and making it paid. So anyway.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Armor Games, for the last 4 weeks of supporting our podcast. And I look forward to the next 4 weeks when we get to do ads for your next game that's releasing next week, which I'm going to post about on Monday. So it's a secret right now. But I will say, as a clue, a hot tip for those sleuths out there, those Professor Layton wannabes, it's a game we have posted about before, and it's a game we saw at GDC 1 year. I'm not going to say what year, but you can maybe do some sleuthing. And if you find out what it is, podcast at tetrarcade.com, let me know, and you'll have my eternal respect. So, moving along. This is, what did I say? Example 55 billion earlier? So, this is 55 billion and one of a cool game on another platform that's coming to iOS.
Yeah, cool trend. So, love it.
Yes. This one in particular is called Songbringer. And it's basically a one guy operation called Wizard Foo Games. This was kickstarted back in 2015, and you know, this guy just basically had this idea of, like, what if you played the original Legend of Zelda, top-down dungeon crawler, puzzle-y, you know, real-time action adventure, whatever you want to call the Zelda series. What if you played that original NES Legend of Zelda, but it was, like, you know, randomized every time, like all the cool roguelike dungeon crawlers nowadays or whatever. And so that was kind of like the gist, the thrust of wanting to create this game that he kickstarted in 2015, got asking for a modest amount. I want to say it was like 8,000 and he ended up getting 15 or something like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was basically, you know, not one of those I need $1 million to make this game Kickstarters. So yeah.
$15,000. Yeah,
he made 15. So I want to say the goal was like 8 originally.
9,000. 9,000.
Yeah, pretty modest, right? Yeah. So anyway, he made the game. It actually ended up releasing in 2017 on desktop and maybe like Xbox or something. I think one of the consoles. And so was pretty well received back then. And then last year it made its way to Switch, following the formula I talked about earlier of games getting their ports to Switch last year. And it seemed to be pretty popular on Switch too. And so now it's coming to iOS, which was actually one of the stretch goals that it hit, back in the Kickstarter. So, long time coming, I guess technically 4 years after the actual Kickstarter and 2 years after the actual game launched, but at least it's coming. It is in open beta right now. So if you're on iOS and you want to try this game right this moment, search for Songbringer on Touch Arcade. You'll find this story and you'll find a link to the test flight, which is public. And I've been playing it myself and it's super duper awesome. It's kind of everything you would think it would be. It doesn't feel strictly like Legend of Zelda on NES, but you can kind of see where that influence is. I'd say the combat is a lot different and, you know, in a good way. It feels like maybe some other dungeon crawlers I've played or whatever. But the randomly generated part of it is really cool because it actually just creates a seed based on the name you give your save file.
That's cool.
So if you were like Fartface and then that's your save file and it ends up being this really cool like seed for a world, you can really easily share that with other people, which a lot of games that do something similar, it's like, oh man, check out my world. It's 8C32. You know, whatever. It's like a really hard to share thing. When in this case, I could be like, Eli, load up Fartface. It's like the coolest world in Songbringer. And you'd be like, all right. So, I really think that's pretty cool. And it also gives you the ability to replay, even though it's randomly generated or procedurally generated, whatever you want to call it. It gives you the chance to actually replay those worlds. So if you found a cool one and you beat it, you could go back and speedrun that same world using the same, you know, seed based on the name. So I thought that was really cool. But yeah, this game so far plays really well with touch control. It's not overly complicated or anything like that. It's pretty much just your hack and slash, typical hack and slash variety of virtual buttons. But check out the beta. It's really fun and it's free to check out. Anyone that's on iOS, I'm not sure about an Android release or anything, and I'm not really sure about an iOS release date, but it feels like it's pretty soon if they're doing the beta stuff right now. So
yeah, particularly if the beta is solid. I mean,
yeah, check out the test flight beta right now. Offer some feedback through test flight. So the guy that makes it knows what's going on with it, and hopefully this will be one of the cooler games that gets released this year. So moving along. The world of auto chess has gotten one richer as Valve has released their.
This is their insane to me. Like, I feel like. Did you even know what auto chess was like 3 weeks ago?
No, it's this really weird thing. And so, like, to try to recap the story, there was this Dota 2 mod that was called Dota 2 Auto Chess that these guys made. And it kind of set up Dota 2 and, like, not even really like traditional chess, but I mean, I guess you could call it like a form of chess because it kind of made it like a head-to-head board game or something, you know what I mean?
Like, I remember I remember seeing like screenshots of this somewhere and I was like, oh, that's weird, it's like repurposing Dota Heroes, huh, interesting, right. And then I kind of just forgot about it
and then it became like, you know, the popular thing. Or is it really that popular, or is it people thinking it's going to be that popular? Because I get that impression more than anything. But I also don't really play any of these auto chess games, and it's not really my thing, so I don't really care. But I do think the whole saga around it is kind of interesting. So these guys made a Dota 2 mod called Auto Chess. It got real popular. They said, hey, we're going to bring it to more platforms, but we're going to drop the Dota 2 thing, and we're just going to call it Auto Chess, and we're going to create our own characters, and that way we're not affiliated with Dota 2, and, you know, whatever. So they went off on there and did their own thing. And then Valve announced, like, hey, that's cool. We're super psyched for those guys. We fully support them. By the way, we're going to make our own Auto Chess also using Dota characters. And so, you know,
it reminds me
good
of
luck to everybody. May the best man.
Well, there's also League of Legends Auto Chess too, that is currently only on PC and in beta, but I believe they have intentions to bring it to mobile. But this like reminds me of one of those situations, kind of like Fortnite to PUBG almost, which like, I guess to recap that drama, PUBG was, I mean, it wasn't, of course, not the first Battle Royale, but it was by far like the first one to become popular.
It's the breakthrough, yeah.
Yeah, it was the breakthrough one. And they used Unreal Engine. And I guess for like, you know, working with Unreal on like, hey, you know, these three things are, or these few things are sort of fucked with Unreal for like what we're doing. It'd be cool if you could fix these, blah, blah, blah. They did all that. And then they were just like, hey, we're just going to release Fortnite, our own Battle Royale thing. That like uses our engine that we make, and of course it's going to be performing a little better and everything else. And that's how Dota Underlords feels to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's like, oh, like cute game mode you came up with, we're just gonna steal that and make it official.
Yeah, totally. And I don't know, like I said, I don't play these games, but from what I've heard from the people that do, is that this is kind of like the best one, even better than the quote-unquote official, the one that released maybe a couple weeks ago on mobile, that's called just simply Auto Chess.
Oh, so you're saying the Auto Chess?
Auto Chess Team Battle or something like that?
I thought it was like
Auto Chess something. And then to throw an extra wrench in the
The crazy thing now, you search fucking Auto Chess on the App Store, and it's like, good luck even finding the right one.
This week, another one called Auto Chess Legends launched. So that's not from anybody involved in the previous ones. That's just its own thing. Although that one looks pretty decent, too, so I don't know. So take your pick of Auto Chess games, I guess. But people do say that the Valve one that just launched, Dota Underlords, seems like the best one. But I guess it's maybe a personal preference thing too, so who knows?
Yeah, it's interesting how much lower, or how far down the search results Dota Legend, or Dota Underlords rather, is when you search for Auto Chess.
I wonder if that's just from it being new. I wonder if that'll even itself out, because you'd think they'd want to be like, hey, it's Valve.
For me, but, so you've got Auto Chess Origin, Auto Chess Legend.
Oh, that's the one, Auto Chess Origin.
Team Arena Evolution comes up, which is a team-up Auto Chess mode, I guess. Let's see, what else is there? Heroes Auto Chess, Picnic Auto Chess Strategy, Dota Underlords, Super Chess War, Cartoon Auto Chess, Heroes of Chess. I'm sure there's other ones too, but
I'm sure. It's a Wild West of Auto Chess.
It's crazy. Like, I'm sure there's like 10, every company on the planet right now is like, fuck, we got to make Auto Chess for mobile. What are we doing?
Which, you know, it's one of those things where it's like in a month, everyone's going to be like, oh, I'm so over Auto Chess. You know what I mean? It's not going to matter. So,
well, probably more accurately, what's going to happen is like there'll be a bunch of like good Auto Chesses that like each has like one feature about it that's like really great.
Yeah.
And there's not like a best one.
And you'll wish that you could take the best bits of each and create just one ultimate.
Because like I feel like that with like the Battle Royale games a lot. Because there's there's stuff I really like about PUBG, and there's stuff I really like about Fortnite, and there's stuff I really like about Apex Legends, and stuff that I really like about the Call of Duty one. And just like those features are only in that game, and it just sucks that like there's not one best one. So I don't know. Whatever. I really don't even understand what you do in Auto Chess, so I'm way behind.
You auto and you chess.
I even watch some streams of it, and I just like, I don't even understand what's happening here. You just like put dudes out, and then the enemy puts dudes out, and they just fight, and then I don't know.
I don't know, and I don't care to know. That's where I'm at with you. I don't want to learn.
That's how you know you finally hit the I'm officially old point, where like this super popular thing, I don't even care to learn what it's about.
Basically, I have been feeling like an old man lately. So, we're actually supposed to have a date night tonight because Pam's parents are in town, so they can watch the kids, so we can go out and, you know, go to dinner and do what we used to do before we ruined our lives with children. And It's funny because I know that I'm gonna go out on the town, I'm gonna go to a restaurant, maybe go for a drink somewhere after. I'm just gonna be like, oh, I hate everyone around me. I hate all these people. They're so annoying. I can't stand it. I just want to go home. And that just means I'm officially old. So that's fine.
Yeah.
So moving along, Harry Potter Wizards Unite is out, which is the Pokemon Go, but Harry Potter.
Yeah.
From the makers of Pokemon Go, Niantic. So it's like an official, not like some other company being like, we're making a Pokemon Go-ish game like Jurassic Park or Ghostbusters or whatever. Yeah, yeah. This is from the actual Niantic folks.
Did you play this?
I have not fired it up yet, but
shockingly well done.
Well, that's something I mentioned in this little write-up because so Tassos, our writer, went to the Harry Potter world in Hollywood because they did a special event on Tuesday in preparation for the release. And up until that point, nobody had known when this thing was coming out. I think they just said like summer or whatever. And it did a soft launch in Australia like a few months back. And so we found out it was supposed to launch today, Friday. And he wrote up a little preview about it and wrote the release date and all that good stuff. They got to actually roam around that park for a few hours and play it. It was like active there.
Like Hogsmeade or whatever in the.
Yeah.
Like the,
so
yeah, that's cool.
So I thought that was cool. He said it was pretty fun. But
yeah. So at my co-working space today, they had the news on at noon, and the local affiliate, I don't know if they went or just like the ABC affiliate or whatever from Los Angeles was there. And like, it was like, I wish I could find the clip online because it was like the most cringeworthy thing imaginable because it was like old, out of touch, like baby boomer newscaster.
Yeah.
Like is like trying to make sense of what this Harry Potter thing is by like interviewing YouTubers that just want to like drop their channel name and stuff like that on TV.
Oh man, I have to see that.
It was,
that's awesome. So anyway, this was supposed to launch on Friday. It actually came out early yesterday too, almost like late Wednesday. And so it kind of surprise launched early. And I don't know. I kind of said that in this thing about, you know, announcing it was out, was that this game has the benefit of 3 years of Pokemon Go, you know, experience behind it. Because as we've said a million times, like Pokemon Go was so cool when it first launched and it was this crazy sensation, but wouldn't it have been awesome if they really had kind of all their ducks in a row or could have known the explosion in popularity it was going to achieve and been a little more prepared for it in terms of like, you know, technical, you know, solid technical ground, I guess, but also just in terms of like additional features and stuff like that. And so 3 years later, Pokemon Go has been updated a ton and it's got a like, you know, a smaller but still significantly large audience that still plays it. And I think it's a way better game now than it was 3 years ago, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's just interesting to see Harry Potter now launch with all of that behind it. And it seems like it's like already just right off the bat, a way, way better experience than the original Pokemon Go was, just because they have all that knowledge that they learned with Pokemon Go. So that's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah. So in playing this, it's I don't know, if you haven't played it, I highly recommend at least like going through like the, you know, tutorial account creation kind of stuff, because it's pretty it's interesting how, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like, I was exceptionally pessimistic about this game because I was like, oh man, it's so fucking lame, they're just gonna reskin Pokemon Go, and like that is kind of still true.
But it's also kind of, it's unique though, right?
Yes and no. Like, so the core mechanic of wandering around in the real world, like tapping on things that happen in the map and then doing something to collect a thing, that's all the same. But the way that it's kind of like explained in the game is you are, it's like wild magic or something like that, that is like bewitched all sorts of stuff. And you need to, like, your job in the game is to like quell this wild magic so like the muggles don't find out about the, you know, world of wizards or something like that.
Right.
So instead of Pokemon, you have, I think they call them like confoundables or something like that, which are just these like magical anomalies in the game world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, much like Pokemon Go, you walk to wherever one of these is, you tap it, and you get this like augmented reality thing, and it's like way better than Pokemon, like the AR experience.
So is it like, oh, that fire hydrant came to life and it's shooting water, you know, something like that?
No, not really. I mean, it's still like it's still like rendering stuff on top of like the real world, but it just seems like it. And I don't know if this is just an improvement of ARKit. Maybe Pokemon Go also has had these improvements, but like, I don't know. I played most of the Pokemon Go when it first launched, and the
Right, me
AR
too.
stuff there was like, oh, there's a Pidgey just kind of like halfway floating through my wall. That's cool. Whereas this seems like it like really uses the ARKit stuff to like lock onto surfaces, and it just it like the AR stuff is just better to the point that it's like vaguely believable instead of before where we're just like 3D model on top of your camera feed that sort of reacts to your accelerometer when you tilt your phone around. So when you come across a confoundable, you do like this like there's a drawing mechanic to like as if you were like waving your wand around, you know, to like cast a spell to get it to put away. I haven't gotten far enough in it yet to know if there's any like customization to that, like if you have a spell book and you like need to remember the gestures or what, but like so far most of the ones I've done have been pretty different. So you like do the gesture, then you're graded by how well you kind of like complete the drawing. And I'm kind of I know I've played games like this that have this mechanic on like the DS or 3DS or whatever, and I just like can't think of any off. Or wasn't there a Castlevania game where you did that? You cast
There
spells
was
based
where you
on
draw like the diagram or the little pattern at the bottom.
So it's like that, and instead of the Pokemon mechanic where you like, you know, flick the thing to like toss the Pokeball and you need to like time it with the ring, it seems to be that seems to be replaced with like grading on how both how accurate and how quickly you're able to draw the little spell thing.
So do you trace it on the touchscreen or do you use your motion of your phone?
You
Because I feel
trace it
like
on the
you'd
touchscreen.
Oh, okay. Because I feel like it makes more sense that you'd use your phone like it was a wand and you would do the little, you know, shape or whatever you have to
Yeah,
do.
but
But
like
that's probably a lot harder to
you're
track.
using your phone as if like you use your phone as like the kind of like viewpoint to look into the Harry Potter world, and then like your finger is sort of the wand, is kind of
Oh,
like the
okay.
way that
Hey, that makes sense.
they sort of do it. So like once you do that, you're not collecting Pokemon. You're like, this is like where it starts to get weird to me, because it feels kind of forced, because like you have this like I don't know, like a like passport stamp book or something like that, and like you have to like to level up, you collect different stamps. So like you might come across like Hagrid that's like held to the ground with spider webs or something like that, and you need to collect like five Hagrids to level up. And so it seems like there's a pretty, at least so far, pretty limited amount of things that you're like actually collecting. You're just collecting like a bunch of them to do something. Like that's kind of where I stopped playing, is like at that point in the tutorial where they were kind of like explaining all that. But it's just kind of, I don't know, it's if you ever played Pokemon Go and you're really into Harry Potter, this is going to be like a really awesome game for you, because you know, like as we were saying, it's got the 3 years of maturity of the Pokemon, like this, whatever you want to call Niantic's platform of augmented reality, real world gaming, applied to the Harry Potter world with like really good graphics this time around. I mean, like the 3D stuff is like shockingly well done for the download size. But at the same, like if you come from Pokemon Go to Harry Potter, you're like, okay, so these are the Pokeballs and these are the
Yeah, you can
berries
kind
and
of
like,
see all the foundations or whatever.
yeah.
I think my thing with this is because I was like, you know, hey, maybe lightning will strike twice, and this we'll all be playing Harry Potter this summer, like, you know, the summer of 2016 when everyone everywhere was playing Pokemon Go, and it was so fun to just roam around town and run into other people. It's like this weird shared common bond between everybody for like a month or two span, and so. But I kind of don't see that happening because I think of, you know, for one, Pokemon Go was like really new and really novel for the time. Like a lot of people didn't know what
Yeah,
augmented
for
reality
sure.
was or that their phone could even do something like that. But they keep hearing about this Pokemon thing. So everybody was trying it and it was free and easy to
I
try
mean,
for just.
yeah, like you can just layer all the things that that Pokemon Go did that, you know, was kind of like shit that we had seen before, you know, like augmented reality stuff, like things that interact with GPS, like all this stuff. Like that's all been done before, but Pokemon Go was a lot of people's like first experience of that, you know, so
And I think that so Pokemon at its height was just massively popular, right? And then it died down, and it's still super popular just in terms of raw numbers of people that play it, but it's nowhere near where it was at its peak or whatever. But what I think is that it got so popular that a lot of people that were just checking it out for the novelty or the fact that it was like this huge fad for a while stayed with it. and weren't necessarily just Pokemon fans that wanted to play Pokemon Go, right? So I don't think you get that with Harry Potter. I think there's a lot of Harry Potter fans out there, similar to something like Pokemon Go or, you know, Pokemon or, you know, Star Wars or one of those other really popular things. But I think even if you took all those people and they all played this game, I still don't think you'd get the same numbers you did with Pokemon, because I think it brought in so many people that weren't just Pokemon people. They just thought it was a fun, cool game, and they continued to play it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't think we'll see a similar level of, like, explosion for Harry Potter or anything like that. But I guess you never know. So.
I mean, like, who knows? Like, I'm sure they'll promote the shit out of it surrounding, like, different Harry Potter movies and, like, all that stuff. But I agree. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. I mean, like, I'm sure it'll have millions and millions of people playing it, but it's just, like, won't hit the same strides as... who knows? Like, we might be wrong, but...
Well, that's one of those... That's the effed up thing with mobile, is that it's like, oh, man, this thing's a total failure. Only 200 million people are playing it every day. Like, oh, my gosh. You know what I mean? Like, because the scale is just so crazy. So that's why it was so funny in, like, the wake of Pokemon Go. Like, probably, like, you know, all of 2017, you'd see stories that were like, oh, Pokemon Go is dead. Nobody's playing it anymore because... You know, instead of 1 billion people playing it, only 500 million are now. The popularity dropped in half. You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, there's still 500 million people playing it. Like, that's bananas for any game by any measure. So, it's all about kind of perspective with stuff like this, too. So I'm sure this will be successful. I'm sure it'll make money. I'm sure it'll find a big audience. It won't see the sort of same explosion that Pokemon did.
But I think it's going to be way stickier for the people that get into it. Because, like, Pokemon, like, their big, Niantic's big fuck-up was, like, allowing everyone to get bored of Pokemon Go.
Right.
Because, like,
they... Or technical problems that drove people away.
Well, not only that, but, like, they... I mean, they just, like, did not capitalize on, like, the insane amount of people they had playing it. Because, like, you got... I mean, like, you know, you wandered around and collected a bunch of Pokemon, and that was kind of all you could do, you know, whereas, like, this has, like, wizard duels and a friend system and, like all this stuff that they've added in over the years is in it from day one. So, like, you know, you've got to, if you get into this game, it seems like there's an absolute shitload of stuff to do. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. It'll be interesting to watch, I think.
But yeah, I would check that out. Free download.
So the last sort of news story I had to talk about today was this stupid company called Game Club is doing all this dumb shit that I hate. the latest Game Club news is that you guys have teamed up with Live Games, who released the Legendary Wars trilogy back in the day. Old school touch arcade people and old school mobile gamers will remember Legendary Wars because it was pretty popular when it came out. It's kind of one of those castle versus castle games where you'd select a bunch of troops and send them on their way, and they'd walk towards the other player's castle, and then you'd battle in the middle with your ultimate goal being to eventually attack the other player's castle and destroy it, and that's how you'd win.
I think the innovation of Legendary Wars, and I don't know if they were the first to do this, but it definitely like added more depth, was the addition of lanes.
Yeah. So
there's three lanes in the game that you can like send your troops down and enemies can come down. As opposed to, I feel like before, maybe, I don't know, before Legendary Wars, I think it was just like a resource management, like mash the buttons and all the guys just kind of like meet in the middle and see where that goes. So
yeah, because you'd have to, you know, you'd need to build up like mana points or whatever so that you know, each troop that you'd want to launch costs a certain amount of mana points. So, it you know, like many strategy games, you'd have to kind of like wait for your resources to build up to release a certain number of soldiers, or you could send out a lot of like weak soldiers for cheap or whatever. So the strategy was really kind of in like how you would unleash your crew of soldiers or whatever to go battle the AI's you know, group of soldiers or whatever. And it's a really fun game. And then another really unique thing that Legendary Wars did is that, I mean, at that time there was a ton of those castle versus castle games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a real popular genre. But what they did, besides, you know, just having really, really well done art style and like a really cohesive like story and sort of universe built around it, with like a really funny and entertaining like storyline and stuff too. But they also mix it up where it would be like, you know, one level would be like a strict, you know, your castle versus their castle. And then the next level might be more like a beat 'em up where you control your little character and beat up dudes. And, you know, you weren't trying to beat up the other castle. You're trying to get through a bunch of bad guys or whatever. And then there was parts that were more like an auto runner or whatever, you know, like they took the same like framework of their game, But used it in a variety of ways, and instead of just strict castle versus castle, even though that was kind of the dominant game type. But I just thought that that variety really set them apart from all the other games out there too. And so Legendary Wars came out in 2011, early 2011, and was reasonably popular, I would guess, by, you know, the standards of the time.
Yeah, I remember being really, at least amongst like Touch Arcade people, being like super popular.
Yeah, it was a really good game. And it spawned a sequel called Monster Wars, and then it spawned a third game. And so backing up, though, Legendary Wars was you were the heroes, all these sort of valiant types fighting against all these monsters who were sort of like these creepy types and very evil, very good versus evil. So the sequel was Monster Wars. It came out the next year, and it let you play as all the bad guys mm-hmm. against all the good guys in basically the same setting. And so it was like one of those cool, you know, it gave you like the ability to see the story from both sides, because it was like, that's always something I've enjoyed, where it's like, you're trying to kill these bad guys because they're trying to do this thing. But from the bad guys' perspective, you're like, dude, we need to do this thing for our own purposes, you know, are beneficial to us. And these jerks are trying to stop us. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about perspective or whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was like really surprisingly clever storytelling, because like, you know, back in the I don't know, early days of mobile, if you want to call it that, it was like most of the stories were like simple or like RPG style stuff. Right. And it was like pretty interesting to see like the sort of like both sides of a war in like a cartoony kind of game.
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought it was really clever. And it's not like it's the first time that's ever been done or anything like that, but it's not something you see a whole lot of, and especially in mobile at the time. So that was Legendary Wars, and then its sequel, Monster Wars, kind of told the other side of the story. And then they released Stellar Wars the year after. And that was more or less the same type of game, but just everything was set in like sci-fi space setting, and it didn't really connect to the previous games like the first two did or whatever. But it was also super solid.
Yeah.
New levels to play, a new campaign to play through, and whatever. So the big news from you guys this week is that Legendary Wars is going to be your game that hits early access on Monday.
I was hoping to have the link early, but didn't quite work out. So
yeah, occasionally you guys will have if you have the link early, you'll share it on the Friday before
in
your Discord server. Yeah. So but that's not the case this week, which that's cool, but it should be ready by Monday sometime, right?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be ready over the weekend. I'll probably still drop it in Discord when we get it, but yeah.
Okay. Legendary Wars is just super awesome, super fun, and I can't think of how many years it's been since I've actually played it, and I don't remember when it actually like left the store, but I know Live Games, who created it, went on to like desktop and console development. Mm-hmm. They've actually had one game in the works for quite a few years now that's kind of taken up all their time. So seeing these games, which are hold a really special place in my heart just because of the time and place that they launched, and that was still in my early days with Touch Arcade. So and actually, the first Macworld I ever went to, I met with these guys and saw this
launched,
which I thought was cool, too. So, yeah, definitely special games to me. Definitely just good games in general. And happy to see them getting fixed up and brought back through Game Club. So, if you haven't yet, we've talked about it on the podcast before. You can go to gameclub.io and sign up for the early access program. And then you'll get Test Flight's emails each Monday with a Test Flight link to whatever game you're releasing. In this case, it'll be Legendary Wars on Monday. You can also go to discord.gg/gameclub, and in your Discord you will offer up some early links when possible. There's also all sorts of other fun stuff to do. Every game you've released so far has its own chat room, so you can chat about it, or you can offer
we're trying to collect like weird bug reports and stuff like that, because there's a lot of gremlins in old code of these games. So it's kind of it's been fun tracking that sort of stuff down, like particularly on weird devices and versions of iOS that we don't have access to, because like Apple doesn't allow you to downgrade, which is cool.
Yeah, that's so
crazy. Or downgrade as far as like versions of iOS is concerned.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Like it would be really useful if Apple had like some like stable path of, you know, like iOS 10 or something like that, that you could downgrade to just for development purposes, you know, like maybe
even just running in the iOS simulator in Xcode or something,
something like that. Yeah, cuz it's I don't know, but it seems like Apple's priority is like marching forward, making sure everyone's on the latest version of iOS and all that stuff. So I get it, but it does it does make things a hassle, and it was super valuable when people that have like any device just plays the game to see if they come across anything weird.
So let me ask you this. You being part of TetraKey for 10 years basically got a new iPhone every year and have kept them all, right? And so do you have like a collection of old iPhones that are on all these old versions of iOS that you could bust out?
That's a good question, actually. I hadn't thought of that.
You should dig it, because I know I have a box that's specifically old iOS devices, and it goes back to the iPhone 4. And I don't actively like plug them in often or update them to their latest that they can take or anything like that. So I probably have old devices you can use if you need.
So. Yeah, well, you know what I was thinking about? Tangent, but so I have like my very, very, very old, like I think first generation Intel MacBook I found looking for something unrelated and, you know, like a box of wires and something like that. And, dude, the battery had expanded out. It was like 4 inches wide.
Shit.
And I was like, oh my God, like this is insane. Like if like this battery exploded in this box in my basement, like caught on fire, like that would be crazy. And like I have so many, like that was kind of like a freak out for me this week, like realizing like how many
things you have batteries
in. Yeah, how many things I have around that have like lithium ion batteries in that, like,
oh yeah.
I don't know. So yeah,
that happened to my PSP, and when I dug it out of a box and the battery had expanded and popped the battery door off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh crap. But I guess that's just very common on Reddit. That's like just a normal thing that happens. And then apparently people are enterprising enough to take the PSP battery and slice it open and order the replacement cells and fix the official PSP battery.
That's insane.
Because I guess there's some circuit board stuff inside of it that you can't get reproduced through like third party batteries and stuff like that.
Wow.
I stupidly threw mine out because it was swollen and I was scared of it. So,
well, right. My battery is like sitting, I found a rock and I put the rock in the middle of my backyard being like, if this thing like blows up or explodes, like want it to be near nothing that can catch on fire.
Yeah.
And like,
you know, what's funny is, when we were, clearing out my grandparents' old place, we were going through their garage and they had like, they had like a normal house and like a pretty normal sized backyard. And then behind that, they had about an acre of just like a field where they had like some almond trees and stuff like that. When I was a kid, that was just my playground. But, so my grandpa, who's just a notorious pack rat, we were cleaning out their old garage and getting up in the rafters and everything. And there's these old trunks, you know, from the war, World War II, and, you know, all this stuff. And, we had known because at our, you remember the shack, the house we had on the beach or whatever, I found a live grenade there one time.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it rolled off a bookshelf and hit the floor and we were like, what the? So, it's not uncommon when we were going through all that stuff at my grandpa's place, we were like, be on the lookout for stuff like that, like live ammo or, you know, live grenades or mines or, you know, whatever. So,
that's so we're scary. Digging through if the wrong person found that, it was like, check it out. It's a grenade.
Oh,
and then it like exploded.
Yes,
holy cow. Totally.
It's extremely dangerous. So we were pulling these trunks down from the rafters, and it's like me and my stepdad, my cousin, and my uncle. And we're digging through it, knowing that there could be stuff like this, you know, present. And we're digging through it, we're coming across a bunch of old army stuff. I think we came across this old pistol and things like that. That was like the craziest thing we found. And so I leave. And then a few days later, my stepdad's still there, like cleaning things up and whatever. Well, apparently one of the trunks we actually went through had a live grenade in it that we missed.
Oh my God.
And so I don't know how.
Did your grandpa just like come back from the war, like, but forgot to turn in like his bandolier of grenades?
I think he's Depression era. And so I think he was one of those people that's like, you know, the government ever comes for me, I'm going to be prepared, you know, like one of those type people. So. God. But anyway, so yeah, a live grenade that we somehow missed in a trunk that we were rooting around in and dropping out of the rafters and all this other stuff.
So what did you end up doing with the grenades? Like, I don't even know what you do, like call the police and be
like,
you
have to call, I forget specifically who you call, but it's someone like the police or the ATF or something like that. And they come out with like a bomb squad unit and they take the grenade, they dig a big hole in that back field and bury it and explode it.
Wow. So these actually did explode. Like they weren't wow. That is unbelievable.
So so there was like a big divot. Not like huge like you might think, but I mean it was a big hole in the ground.
Holy
where they
shit.
Had to blow up this grenade that we found from, I think it was the Korean War, was the one he actually saw combat in or whatever.
Un freaking believable.
The sketch thing, though, is thinking about it after the fact, where it's like, yeah, we were very, like, rough pulling these trunks out of the rafters.
Holy and, cow.
Like, that could have blown up our whole garage. My whole family was in that garage, more or less. Jeez. You know what I mean? Like,
that's crazy. I mean, like, I never would, like, if I found, like, because, like, I don't know. I think we actually have one around. You buy them at Army surplus stores. You know, like, the grenades are just empty, you know? And I would always assume that it's just like, oh, Hooks, that's so silly. It's
like
a grenade. Catch.
A grenade around. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Jesus, that's scary. Well, that's cool.
Anyway, that's my grenade story. also, yeah. Sign up for Game Club.
Yeah, you will not get any live grenades from Game Club. we're just trying to get as many people playing these games as possible. Like, if you go on the Touch Arcade story and find them, or if you just put your email in at gameclub.io, it'll throw you into a page that has all the test flight links, so you can just download them immediately. Honestly, would just really appreciate, like, just if you download, like, if you have a minute, just download all the games, just, like, make sure they launch. Like, even... Yeah. Not even necessarily like bug testing, but just like making sure like you can like get into the game would be ultra helpful.
Well, it's hard too to just it's like, hey, here's a dozen games or whatever. They're all free to play right now. No ads, no in-app purchases, no nothing.
Yeah.
They're the full games. And right now in this early access program, there's nothing. There's no impediments to you playing them.
Yeah.
You know what
there's,
I mean?
Like,
they're just
seriously...
full.
No
full
strings
free
attached.
Games test flight, yeah.
Like, literally, all I want to know is whether or not the games crash or run right or whatever else.
Right.
Like, I don't care. Like,
so,
they're free. Like, play them as long as you want. Play them a million times over. Tell your friends.
It's like,
I don't care.
It's like hard to get that across because you feel like somebody's going to be like, well, what are you trying to, you know, dupe me into? Or what are you selling? Or, you know, what's the end game here or whatever? And it's like, no, right now, like, yeah, you're going to charge money for this stuff someday. But right now, this is all just free games. And if you haven't played any of these before, or if you have and you miss them, there's no reason you shouldn't be playing the test flight versions.
Yeah.
And it helps you a lot because you get analytics out of that stuff. And then there's also a very easy feedback button inside test flight. So you can let them know if there's like a crazy crash on your device or, you know, all that sort of stuff. So
no shit.
There's no reason not to be playing these games.
All I want to know is like if you've got like an iPhone 5C or something else weird or whatever, just like do the games load. Can you play them?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
Yeah.
You did me a huge solid.
Right. So all the links are very handily in our latest story about Legendary Wars. So you can find all the links to the previous games there. You'll get a test flight link to Legendary Wars on Monday or earlier if you join your Discord.
Yeah, potentially. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, so just nothing but good things. And then the final part of this was that you guys had set up a cool little survey where people can request games to be bought back.
Yeah.
And so I have a link for that in the last paragraph of
this
story.
A lot of people requested Legendary Wars, so hopefully everyone's stoked.
Is that
true? Yeah.
Awesome. If there's a game that you remember from mobile, and, you know, I see in your guys' Discord a lot, there's a lot of people who are like, bring back BioShock. And it's like, that's BioShock. I mean, that's kind of a long shot. You never know, but I mean, that's sort of
that. Like, that would be amazing. But, like, I don't know. Like, the problem is finding the person that cares at 2K. About
if
that.
If those people even exist anymore. Yeah. Because the BioShock company, the 2K internal, 2K China or whatever, like, I don't even think they exist anymore. So it's like, So you know, try to keep in mind, like, I would still request games like that.
Yeah,
but also try and keep in mind that how realistic it is in terms of, like, licensing certain things and stuff like that.
Right.
But, I mean, aside from even games like that, there's so many awesome gems that we've lost over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have one that you really like, you can go in here and request it. And you guys will put it up for consideration, and you're actively looking at how many people request certain games.
Like,
to
that's
kind of
a trying to, like, stuff that a bunch of people have gotten. Like, I'm going after a little harder than just like a one-off sort of thing. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, I'm looking at the thing right now. Like, the crazy thing about this form is that, like, people will suggest these, like, ultra classic games that I just, like, completely forgot about.
Right.
Like, there was a tower defense game, like Four Towers, I think it was, or something.
Oh,
like
Four
that.
Towers, I remember that game.
And I was like, oh, holy shit, like, that game was so freaking good, and it's just, like, completely not even on my mind anymore.
Totally. No, it's good to get refreshed for that. And like I've said before, the games we know about coming from you, there's a lot of them I'm excited about, but it's almost more exciting to be like, get an email or a test flight, you know, invite or something that's like, oh crap, I totally forgot about this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I am so excited to play this again. I forgot it even existed. And there's just a million examples of that in mobile over the last 10 years. So
yeah, it's sort of crazy and depressing at the same time. But
right.
So another thing, like, so I would say order of importance, things that, like, if you want to help Game Club, download the games, just like download them all, just make sure they launch. Like that would help me the most. Request games that you'd like to see updated. And if you really want to go the extra like step, which it's totally optional, is like actually going, like, on the Touch Arcade store, there's links to rate the games. And I also have those mm-hmm. in Discord and the topic of every game channel. Because like what we're kind of trying to figure out is like, okay, like, so the survey is like four questions. It's like, how much do you like this game? Why did you rate it? What's your favorite game from Game Club? And like, you know, what's your age and gender and stuff? And like, you don't have to answer all the questions if you don't want, you know, especially, you know, age and gender. But we're basically just trying to figure out, like, okay, so the person that likes Space Miner, or if my favorite game is Space Miner, like, what do I rate, like, Words? Or if my favorite game is Words, what do I rate Space Miner, kind of thing, to kind of like figure out, like, these kind of like groupings of games that, like, if you really love Words, like, you're probably also gonna like Zombie Match Defense or whatever else. So that's kind of I made a lot of assumptions that I'm not sure if they're right or not, so the more data I can gather, the better. But that's, you know, you don't have to do that if you don't want to, but I just,
well, it's a really short survey. I filled it out myself, and in all the comment fields,
takes like 30 seconds, so, if that.
So yeah, do all that good stuff for Game Club. Help them out, because they're doing God's work by bringing these games back.
Yeah.
And it's fun to think about checking out Legendary Wars whenever that link comes available. Haven't played that in years, so that's going to be a lot of fun nostalgia. And I feel like that's one of those games, much like Space Miner, that probably held up really well over the years. So.
Yeah, it's been really fun on my phone. Like, it's the interesting thing about these games is that, and this is true for like most of them, is that developers used to put a lot of text in games.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, like playing a modern mobile game in 2019, it's like if you launch the game and aren't in actual gameplay inside of like one tap and like 5 seconds, like you've lost people. And like Legendary Wars and a lot of these other games, it's like, dude, all right, I get it. Like, this is really cool. Like, I'm glad you're building the world and stuff like that, but like, let me just play the game. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, it's funny too, because nowadays you got to be like, dude, we have to translate all that into like 12 languages. Yeah. Like, great.
Yeah, no one thought about that.
It's
going
to cost $1 million.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. So check out the story on Game Club. You could just type Legendary Wars into Touch Arcade, and this story will have all the good stuff that you need to get going with that.
Yeah.
And as always, we look forward to seeing what else Game Club is doing. Always happy to shill you on the podcast
Hell
here.
Yeah. Max shill.
Yeah. with that, I think we're hitting up against the time limit. Is that correct?
Yeah,
not that there is a time limit. We make our own time limits, but
we don't need to run a 90-minute podcast. We can talk about skateboards more.
Yeah, we can talk. Okay. I'll have some off-topic stuff for next week for sure, because I'm supposed to get some new headphones in the mail, and the world of headphones is slippery slope that I'm not going to divulge, but we'll talk about it next week. But the world of audiophile stuff is I hope I don't slip into this, because you see what it's done to Carter. I don't need to be like Carter.
Carter's been turned into a twisted and ruined man by audiophile stuff.
The fun thing, though, about poking around the world of the audiophile world on the internet is that it's like half the people arguing about what's the like best equipment and best stuff to use to get like the best listening experience. And then the other half are people arguing that this sort of thing doesn't exist, and that MP3s are fine, and that your ears are tricking you, and that like audiophile stuff is all just bullshit anyway. So.
Well, I mean, like my favorite thing to link to in any like argument like that is that thing that I don't even remember who did it, but it was like they compared monster cables, like the audio quality of monster cables versus like clothes hangers.
Yeah.
That they like wire clothes hangers that they like untwisted and stuff, it was negligible like between the two.
I believe that, but that, at least in that case, it's like Monster is a known, like, just crappy, you know, product that has, like, a inflated price because of its name or whatever. But, you know, I mean, maybe the whole world of audiophile junk is like that, too, and I don't know.
I still have my Monster component video cables that I bought my first expensive TV. Cables are, like, $120. I'm never going to throw those away. I like put them in a frame to remind myself what a fucking idiot I am.
Just buy Amazon Basics, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is going to be our podcast this week. If you have a guess as to what next week's Armor Games sponsored game is and you want to take a stab at it before Monday when I post about it, you can send an email to podcast@toucharcade.com. You can also email us there for any other reason, just to say hi, any comments, concerns, questions. If you want to just tell us we're cool, podcast@toucharcade.com is a good way to do that.
I'll tell you you're cool for free.
Oh, all right. And as mentioned, Touch Arcade is primarily sponsored through Patreon. So if you would please visit patreon.com/TouchArcade and consider supporting us for as little as $1 a month, you can get a bunch of perks, including a video version of this podcast where before we actually start recording the real podcast, the Patreon people get some exclusive video footage, which includes pictures of my new son. So if you like cute baby pictures...
You're other show and tell up. Options as well, if you're not into
babies. Other show and tell options and other off-topic banter. So if you enjoy all that stuff, like definitely consider
signed photo of Vanessa Vanjie Mateo.
I know, yeah, I know. Regular listeners don't know about that stuff. So if you like that sort of thing, definitely check out patreon.com/toucharcade. Also, you can help us out by doing your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon, buying the things you normally be buying through Amazon. But we just get a little percentage of that, which can add up over time and go a long way towards helping keep the site and podcast running.
You know what I got this week through toucharcade.com/Amazon?
What did you?
A Amazon Basics guitar stand, which is a perfect stand for skateboards.
Oh, wow. That's a really good hot tip right there. That's a life hack if I ever.
It's only like 10 bucks.
Yeah. I actually think I bought a guitar stand through Amazon too. But I bought the hangers for my wall and never hung them. So I have those though.
Yeah.
So if I ever want to hang them on the wall.
Well, I got one for my regular skateboard for my boosted board because I was like, oh, it'd be cool to hang this on the wall. And I was like, yeah, 15 pounds, that's a lot to hang on the wall. So
probably pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Anyway. So with all that, thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.
See ya.